Well, it's good to be here. I think I'm on. So, you know, I had one of these, and then they switched it out and gave me a new one. And then, you know, Brother Todd Hendricks was adjusting it, and I thought I was already dressed for the night, but he was helping me out. And I realized it's really not a microphone. It's really a heresy checker. So, you know, if you start seeing your pastor start smiling with a little pen clicker and, you know, I say, turn to Thessalonians, you'll know something's off there. But anyways, it is, you know, it's good to be able to be in God's house and have a good time. You know, we get out in the world and they know how to have humor, but it's always twisted, shaded, and dark. You know what? With God, we can have fun, and it's clean, and it's wholesome, and it's helpful. And thankful for that. Great to be here. I went to Fairhaven Baptist College. I knew Pastor Bill, crazy Pastor Bill. We got along well. You know, our minds just think in a different direction. And but we turned from our wicked ways. I got it in there. Got it in there. Some of you might know that from camp. But I knew Andrea and Dustin. I kind of knew when I was going back with my wife was still there. And then I knew Tom. I was actually involved in the teen ministry when Michael Hunt was in there. So I know now I'm starting to show my age. But that's okay. So I went there. I graduated in 2005 from Fairhaven Baptist College, and I had no ministry to go to. So I went back to my church. I believe not only in the local church in conversation, but in practice, and that made it interesting because I went back while all of my other friends were jumped into a full-time ministry. But God had a plan for that, and my wife was also still finishing up her 2 years at Fairhaven. So I had a long distance relationship for 2 years there and waited for that. Then we got married in 2007. And right after that, it was like a few months, God just opened all the doors in 2007. I went to East Sunsbury Baptist Church under Pastor Jeffrey Cox and was there for 2 years. Pastor Cox has since gone to be with the Lord. I know what you're thinking. He did not die while I was working with him, okay? He passed with cancer. They do say cancer is kind of traumatic. But anyways, seriously, I learned a lot from him. The church was a rural area. There was a lot of Amish involved over there. And but there was still more cows than there was people in the town. It was about 400-something in the town. And then it seemed each ministry God gave me, the town was growing a little bigger. And there was a different angle of ministry God was using. I wanted to be left there as the and be involved in that ministry and just stick it out till the Lord called me home. But God had a different direction. And I look back and I see God's hand in all of it. We went in 2009. We arrived at Pastor Roger Bertrell's church, Maranatha Baptist Church in Lyons, New York. And I was a youth pastor, Christian school principal. And there I was introduced to Mount Zion Baptist Camp. You missed your cue to cheer, but that's okay. You know, you take a year off of camp and then you lose your camp excitement. But you know, again, that's on you, Todd. That's leadership. Anyways, I got to pick on him. You know, he's been doing it all morning to me, so this is my chance. But I enjoyed jumping into the inner workings of camp with all of you then and meeting, as the years have gone on, meeting more and more of you from this church. And I may not know all of your names, but occasionally I definitely remember a face, and some are more impressionable than others. I don't know why my head keeps leaning to this left side over here, but we had all that going on. Was there for 3 years, and then in 2012 I moved to It was just 40 minutes away. We moved to New York to Freedom Baptist Church, to my dad's church. And it just, the way it was working out, he had a Jeremy Ingalls was his associate. He was moving on to Couriers for Christ at Wildwood in Wisconsin. And so I moved there my father's assistant, known as Pastor Dad, and worked there with him. And we talked, and right when I got there, we were talking about the opportunity, and we both kind of like, you know, is this a good idea, you know, dad and son? And and he said, you know, I really believe God's in this thing. And he already knew I was looking at pastoring. And he said, well, will you give me a year? I said, sure, I will give you a year. And that year lasted till 2019. It's amazing how that works. You know, our time frame is different than the Lord's, and that's okay. I was not, when I got there, I was not full time at the church, so I had to get a job. But when I got out of Bible college in 2005, I worked with a company, Burns Brothers Construction, an outfit in Syracuse, and worked working with concrete and commercially. And so because of that, I was able to get back into that job again. And the Lord used that in my life in many ways. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But while I was doing that, there was different ministries that God was opening up, and I just didn't have peace. And I actually called a friend of mine from Bible college, Joe Hawkins. He's took over for his father, father-in-law, Pastor Michael, in Medford, Massachusetts. It's about a half hour from Peabody. And I was just calling him, seeing how he's doing. He said, you know, there's a pastor. He's retiring. There's a church, a parsonage, and there's about maybe 20 folks. And the church needs a little work. But, you know, just a thought. And so, you know, I called and looked into it, and I thought, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure that this is the place. And in the meantime, another church from California calls up, and they've got 20 folks, but not total. That's just in their choir and a staff. And, you know, all these things are coming out. And but I always learned something early on that some pastors don't understand this, but I don't just look at it as a job. It's a ministry. And you can't think of it in that sense of a job. What's the retirement package? What's this going to look like on paper? How is this going to... it's a ministry. And I remember getting ready for work, and it was about 4:30, 5 o'clock. I was out on our couch in the living room, and I was in, you know, it's Psalm 75. This is the book of encouragement, and instead the Lord is just slapping me upside one down, up one side of the face and down the other. And it says in, for promotion cometh neither to the east nor the west, nor from the south. And okay. And then it goes down. It says, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup. And I just said, Lord, I know that cup. I'm aware of the situation there. I don't want that cup. I just, right, you know, I'm having all this, you know, all my kids, all my family sleeping, and I'm having this verbal, you know, conversation in my devotions with the Lord. And, you know, I've always... Usually, you know, the Lord doesn't just say, you're going to Tabernacle. You know, it's not in there. You're going to Peabody. But the principles are found in the Word of God. And, you know, I'm just arguing. And then there's two more verses in that chapter. I get down to verse 2 of Psalm 76. And this is what it says. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. Now, if you understand, right next to Peabody is Salem. Salem is known as the for their witch trials. They've got the witch cabs, and everything is. You think about it, they have witch or witchcraft or something having to do with that involved. In October, it is complete Halloween. They call it the Mecca for witches, and the whole month of October, except for COVID this year, just put a damper on their holidays. But anyways, but usually that is a huge push. And I got a hold of that verse, and the Lord has said, you need to be there. In Salem also is this tabernacle, and you need to be the one pastoring it. And he gave that to me before I even got there. You know, God works that way. It's faith, fact, feelings. You know what? We want the circumstances first. We want the feelings first. But he showed he wants faith, facts, and then feelings. And he wants it in that order. And I got the point. I got the hint. And there were still people that were a little unsure about it. And I said, Lord, I already know I'm supposed to be there. So just give me 100% vote to prove to others that this is your calling. And he did that. And he gave me 100% vote from the church. And unheard of, but God was involved in every part of this. And we, our family moved there. 02-02-2020 was my first service. And kind of hard for me to remember, but I think I'll manage. But before we got there, my pastor said, you know what? We want to be a part of this. We want to be sending you out to help you financially. And so while I am here, not only financially, but he's got one of his deacons that is preaching at my church. And so they are helping out already. They've had a family come out and helped load up a huge dumpster. We've got stuff that's been there from probably the 70s, and it's just accumulated. And so we can't even function in the church. So they came out, helped us with that, and got a dead tree down and took out a huge dumpster load of things and just helping us and helping us transition. And they're not just in money, but in physical labor and prayers. And they have been backing us and helping us. And I believe it's the biblical way. And but it has to be in practice as well. And that's been helpful. The church leadership was not pushing door-to-door soul winning. And so that's something we've been working into. And the first week, there was one person that came out, said, that's one person more than we have. Let's go. It's not my family. It's one other person. So I went out door to door. And that next Sunday, the person that said they were going to come, his name was James Christmas. And he gifted us of his presence on Sunday. And don't you know, the Lord was just establishing the leadership there. And boy, we pushed that. We talked about that. We promoted the fact that soul winning works. And then the next week had nobody show up for soul winning. But the week later, we had six folks out. And so they're starting to get behind those things. I know it will be, you know, three steps forward and maybe even four steps backward. But I say it's movement. It's movement. And we're excited about what the Lord's doing. I've got a Carson 11. I've got a daughter, Kaylin, at 9. And Colin just turned 5. And then Carmen is 3.5 months. My COVID-19 baby. And Lord knew we needed her at that time. So it's been, we said we've had a child. Each one of our children were born in each of the churches. And said, perfect. Carmen is good, and we're 4 and no more, and we'll just stay here for the rest of our life. That would be wonderful. So we'll see what the Lord does. But if you will, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians. That's a good book, too. You can read that on your time. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 11, we're going to get right into this. It says, "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." Look at that verse again. It says, "The Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him." When God is in you and you in him. You know, we as children were blessed because we were in a pastor's home. And there's just some privileges that happen because pastors have friends. They have pastor's friends. They have church members. And sometimes the kids just get blessed with some things or a book or get to do an activity just because they're connected with dad. And so it's, yeah, I'm with dad. I'm with him. And it's fun. It's cool because guess what? I was able to be a part of something special because I knew my dad. Yeah, that guy's my dad. You know, we'd go to a conference and he'd preach and be like, yeah, that's my dad. You know, it's, wow, that is my dad. And I can remember, we all graduated from high school, and my brother Joel went, and then I went, and then my brother Jason went to college at Fairhaven. And I can remember the president saying, "You know what, Pastor Dunbar, I really appreciate your children in the school." I'm like, thinking, well, you know, you have a lot of children in the school, you know. My dad's like, "Well, wonderful." He says, no, you don't understand. It's wonderful to have your children who are pastor's kids in the school. Because normally, he says, not right down the board, but normally they're sometimes some of our hardest and struggle students. I said, "Oh, that's wonderful. That's a great name that we've been, you know, showing off, is that we're the biggest problem." But he said, "You know what? That's not the case." There often seemed after that, my father was going more often to the college and preaching there. And he turned to us kids one time and said, "You know what? You're the reason why I'm there." And all of a sudden we're kind of like, the tides have changed, you know. Now he needs us instead of we need him. But, you know, it sounded like that wow factor. But, you know, the reason we children were the reason why dad was being blessed, but in reality, the reason was dad was in us because he instilled the character. Instilled the character. We are blessed by God. We have salvation, and he, not only after salvation, he richly blesses our lives. But is God blessed by us? Because he is in us. And how do we portray God in us? Because when God is in you and you in him, there ought to show God in us. Amen. Heavenly Father, I do ask that you would be with this message. I pray that you would be with these thoughts. God, in some ways they're simple, but Lord, I know in my life it's the simple things I stumble and struggle with. God, I pray that you would use this. You would give me only the words you want me to say. And you leave Jared Dunbar aside. And God, you'd fill us with the power of you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look this evening at three areas of life God is evidently working in you and you in Him. Look at that verse again. It says there in verse 11, when God is in you and you in Him, God counts you worthy of this purpose. It says, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. You know, God, I remember sitting in services and just hearing pastor after pastor and evangelists and they'd say something like this, you know, God was calling me into ministry and I was fighting it. I said, no, I will not be a pastor. I will not be a missionary. I will not be an evangelist or go into full-time service. And Lord, I'm just going to get that right out of the blocks right now. That's not me. You want me, whatever you want, missionary, evangelist, pastor, youth pastor, we know probably not music, but I'll do it. I don't care. Whatever you want me to do. But Lord, please don't send me to college to do it. I can go work under a church. I can. You have to understand that it took an extra year in high school for me to graduate. It took an extra year in college. They said, oh, you're going another year. You're going to take your master's. I looked at them like, no, yeah, I'm going to master my bachelor's. And they're like, oh, that's wonderful. Oh, they kind of got the clue. But, yeah, I really failed some things, and I'm moving another year. But God knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. And it's that process that He wants us to go through. I remember that semester. I had failed more classes that first semester than I had passed. I said, Lord, you tricked me. I felt like Jeremiah. I said, you know, because you know I'm not good with the scholastics, with the academics. And it's just not me. I mean, I can't even spell those words. And, you know, you put me here, but you also gave me a competitive spirit. And I know I can't quit. You tricked me. And this is not right. You know, God knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. And it's a process that He wants us to go through. You know, I tried that just recently. Lord, I know it, but I do not want to be a millionaire, Lord. I don't. What happened, you know? But it's like, no. That's not the process. That's not the process. See, God wants to give us some things that we need in our life. Again, He says there, counts you worthy of this calling. One thing I notice is that every word of God is important and that it does not say worthy of His calling. It's not God's calling. You know what it says? This calling. This calling. It's the one He has for you. You know, I heard preachers all the time say, you know, God's will is your life. Stop fighting it and take that check and don't sign it and let God sign it. I don't know why they always said check with the will of God. It kind of confused me. But the idea there is that it's not the fact that it's God's and we just got to give in. God already has a special purpose of this calling all set up for you. He's already got it ready, and we've just got to obediently say, I'm following in. I'm walking in to what you have already planned. Are you fighting it? Are you fighting it? It says there, count you worthy. There was a purpose. You know what? I had probably almost a dozen different offers while I was at my father's church. You know, when I was at college, I was a fifth-year senior and still single. And they said, what? The words was, there's plenty of fish in the sea. Well, I'm not looking for a fish. I'm looking for a wife. But anyways, you know what? There was a purpose. There was one person for me. There was one ministry. Yeah, other ministries would work, but there was one God had designed for me. You know what? It's not for me to say, God, change it. It's for me to say, wow, let's search this out. Let's find out what God has planned for my life. Because each and every one of you has something special that God has for your life. And guess what? You just got to find it. You just got to count it. You just got to add it up. You know how you do that? Through obedience. Through obedience. You know what God wants? God wants us to start counting. Can God counts you worthy of this purpose you are in right now? If he can't, maybe it's because he is not in you and you in him. Can God count what you do in your life today, yesterday, last night, the week before? Can he add it or subtract it? You see, because we go through life and we sin and we think that all these things are okay, that we can carry this bitterness, we can carry these problems, and that's okay because you know what? We're in church, we're serving the Lord. And he says, no, I am counting every part of this purpose, of this calling in your life. Start counting. I challenge you, start counting. I said I'm competitive. I like sports. I didn't say I was good at it. I just said I like sports. And when I play, I keep score because I am counting on winning. It's just it's how I am. And you know what? My kids are starting to get that spirit. I'm like, yes. Why? Because points matter. Those points matter. Turn to Psalm 90:12. Psalm 90:12. We're gonna go through this here quickly, but it says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." How do you do that? Again, obedience. Apply it. Use it. All right, Lord, what are you teaching me today? How can I please you today? What can I do for you today? And when you do that, you're starting to get the heart and mind of God, and then he can use you. People said, oh, you know, you're only in full-time service when you're fully paid and in full-time service. But God wants to be teaching us every day of our life. It's not just, oh, if I'm now I'm on staff at a church. No, it's when you go to your job, God has some lessons for you with that irate, angry filled coworker. I had one of those. I worked in construction, okay? God was teaching me how to deal with people. Ministry. And so I took a notebook. I started writing down and jotting down in that notebook what God was teaching me while I was there. You say, you know what I was doing? I was counting. I was counting. Figuring out, all right, what's God showing me? What's he teaching me? What am I building upon? What am I working on? You see, not in just in full-time ministry, I was in full-time purpose of this calling. Are you in full-time purpose of his calling in your life? This purpose is his process. Counting it's a principle of obedience for precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. It's that obedience. And counting is a wise principle. This purpose is this process. You know, God's math is not like Common Core. That came out, and I remember a construction worker was trying to teach his daughter, and he's, "Daddy, you don't do it that way. You just kind of express yourself." "What? There's no principles? There's no guide?" And he's like, "I can't help you then." You know what? That's the way they wanted it. Common Core. You know, God's math is not like Common Core. He counts every score. Counts every point. Trust Him. Trust Him. When God is in you and you in Him, God completes all the good pleasure. Look there in 2 Thessalonians 1:11b, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness. Of His goodness. There's a fulfillment when God completes the goodness of all the good pleasure. You know, I remember a Christmas that was not good pleasure. You know why? My schoolwork was not up to par. I not only that, but I was wanting to be on the sports team, and that didn't happen because my schoolwork wasn't up to par. And that Christmas was one of the most miserable. But it wasn't just because of the pain that was inflicted upon me, upon the fool's back. But it was the relationship. When we don't do right, it's not just, God doesn't just want to give us multiple blessings. The good pleasure is just He wants that relationship with us. When that obedience is off, He's not in you because you're far away. Because you're not in the book. Like you should be. Or I know this never happened here, but it happens in my home, you know, where I've had maybe a problem with my spouse. Of course, it's not my fault. But then for some strange reason, when I go through, it doesn't matter if I go through 10 or 20 pages, I'm not getting anything from the Word of God. It's kind of weird how that works. You know why? Because the relationship's off. How's your relationship? You know, when a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh him and his enemies to be at peace with him. All right? If you're looking at your spouse as an enemy, well, you know what? Maybe it's because your first enemy is your relationship with God's off. And He's trying to speak to you and you're, "Hello, hello, hello." You know that good pleasure is when you can take your pillow and you go off in la-la land. Why? Because it is well with my soul. That's good pleasure. That's good pleasure. When God is in you and you in Him, God creates a work of faith with power. It says there, in the work of faith with power. 2 Thessalonians 1:11c. I was talking with my wife a few months back and said, Honey, I just don't know where the money is going to come. I said, "Dear, you just need to have a little faith." "Oh, we're going to be the spiritual one now." Okay. Went to the post office. $1,200 check. You know, I heard that from pastors. "Oh, the Lord provides." And you know what? It never happened to me. But it didn't need to happen to me. He had other lessons He was teaching me. I just had to provide for my family. So I'm working a construction job, and I've got Lyme's disease, and I've got a hernia surgery all in the same year. And I just got to trust God's going to provide and allow me the strength and energy to go on. But you know what? I didn't need the money. I already had the money. Now the health's doing a little better. Now I need the money. You know what? God says, I will create a work of power. Because when you are in Him, when God is in you, when He's in you, when you're doing the work for Him, it's not for anybody else. When you're doing the work for Him, when He's in you and you in Him, He's going to create it. You know where He does it? Out of nothing. You say, how does He do that? Well, He did it with us, didn't He? Oh, let's grab a little dirt here and here we go. And ta-da, there's a mankind. So why do we question when He can just create a power, a miracle, a work in our lives? Because He's in us. Go to Philippians 3:10. Philippians 3:10. Philippians 3 verse 10 says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Don't forget God's work of faith in what God is doing in your life. Is your faith increased in the person of God or just in the power of God? See, sometimes we just want everything to be perfect. We want everything to, we want the perfection. We want, sometimes maybe the way our family is, we don't want the problems in our family. You know what? That's life. It's how we handle it. But see, what we do is we want the perfection rather than the perfection of God's power in our life. And God says, you know what? I'm teaching you. Are you going to trust me? Are you going to cling to me? God wants a relationship with us. When God is in you, you know what? He's not going to be in you if you're not in Him. If He's not in you. If you're not in the Word. There better be a time where you just have some time with Him. Because that world doesn't, they don't want Him. It better be in us. Is this purpose important for you to count? How to apply wisdom and please the Lord? So God is in you, and you in Him. We need obedience. We need to start counting. When God is in you and you in Him, God's good pleasure is in your life. He wants to bless you. The Israelites failed in so many ways because God wanted to do so much more. And we say, those foolish Israelites, those foolish church members, that foolish pastor, God wants to do more. We need to delight in Him. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He wants us to be connected with Him. To be that light. Are there sins God is pointing out in your life that He wants out? See, God might... it says in Romans 2:4, and not knowing the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.